welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Well, praise God. The thing is, with God, there's different ways you can look at it, and you can look at an aspect of God and totally miss what God is actually saying to you. And that was sort of the link with that quiz, really. Everybody could saw exactly the same thing, but some people understood it, and some people, like Paddy, had no clue at all. Thank you for your honesty, brother. And it's like that with the gospel. So I just want to look at a couple of things from the Christmas story where you see this exact same thing. So if you're getting your Bibles out, I'm going to go to Luke chapter 1. And the first is the story of Zechariah, which is often read around this time of year. Let's go from, where shall we go from? We'll go from verse 5, why not? Okay. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. So these were people of God. It wasn't that they weren't people of God. I think that's important to take note of right at the beginning of the story. Okay, they weren't someone that weren't disconnected with sort of God in their land, because it says they were upright in the sight of God. So it wasn't upright in their own sight. God saying, these people are my people, and they're upright. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years, about Kate's and my age. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty, and he was serving as a priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time came for the burning of the incense, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. So he goes in, and he has this encounter. An angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Don't be afraid." Why is it that whenever people encounter God or an agent of God in the Bible, the first thing often is, "Don't be afraid"? You know, God is awesome. I think we forget that. You know, if God was to turn up in his glory more than he's here and he's present, and we know his presence in the worship. But I tell you, if his presence was strongly here, we'd all be scared. Even though we know he's not going to destroy us and that he loves us, the presence of God is scary. But then God says, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a great joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from birth. Many of the people of Israel many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." The angel answered, "I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I've been sent to speak to you and to tell you the good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come at their proper time." So Zechariah has this encounter with an angel. He's told that his wife is going to be pregnant, and he ends up not being able to speak. Now, there was another encounter in the Christmas story with an angel that you know well. But I thought, for a bit of difference, instead of reading it, was she a cinematic interpretation of it? So here's another video clip. Okay, so we've got these two angelic encounters. And both of them question what the angel's been and said. And one is struck dumb, and the other one seems to get away with it. But actually, if you look carefully, the question that they ask is slightly different. And it's all to do with how we receive what God has said to us. And God has said a lot of things to us at the moment as a church. You know, there's all kinds of promises of where God is taking us and of growth. We see a large church of people influencing Scarborough, influencing Yorkshire, and influencing the nation. That really is the word that God has given to us. And I think we can learn from Mary and Zechariah's attitude here. Zechariah, if you look at what he actually said in verse 18, he said, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years." And if you look at what Mary says, she says it in verse 34, "How will this be," Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin?" Sound very, 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 very similar, don't they? But you see, there is a difference. Because, and I think this is the spirit behind the question, which is the reason for what God does. In the first one, he says, "How can I be sure of this?" He's got the word of the Lord, and he just says, "How can I be sure? I don't know whether I can believe this or not. I don't know whether I can trust this or not," is what he's saying. Whereas Mary just says, "How will this happen?" In other words, she's accepted it's going to happen. She's just saying, "How will it happen? I'm a virgin. I can't see how I could possibly have a baby." But she's accepted the word. She's just saying, "Well, how?" Because if you look at what the angel says to her, the angel says, "Well, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you and you will conceive and have a child." He explains to her how this will be done. And so in this time of God speaking to us as a church and all the things he's speaking to us, whether it's from open house to sharing together or anything really, just think of anything over the past 6 months and the whole sort of everything he's poured out, or even whether it's something that God has spoken to you personally, a promise that is over your life, it's very easy to think, "How can I be sure of this?" And yet that's what happened to Zechariah, and he got a hand, holy hand clamped over his mouth to stop him speaking anymore. Whereas Mary said, "How will this happen?" So the great thing to learn from Mary is there's nothing wrong with going to God and saying, "Well, how?" Which actually is quite releasing. You know, it's not just taking it on board by faith and sort of, although it is taking it on by faith, it's not just taking it on by blind faith and sort of, "Well, God's going to make it happen." Crash, I walk into the lectern and everything goes flying. It's actually saying, "Okay, God, you've told me to walk to the other side of the room." Rather minor word from the Lord, really, but "You've told me to walk to the other side of the room. How will that happen?" And God says, "Well, keep your eyes open and look over the other side and keep walking." Okay, but a lot of Christians, they get a word from God and they think, "Oh, God says go to the other side of the room." Yeah, they just wander off in the dark saying, "God will make it happen." Well, God is sovereign. God will make it happen. But on the way to the other side of the room with my eyes shut, I can hit a few things and have a few accidents. And actually, if I listen or ask the Lord, "Well, how? What do you want me to do? How am I part of this?" God will actually give specific instructions. And I think this is a great question. We need to be a bunch of Marys in this room. It sounds rather an insult, doesn't it? Phil, you're a Mary. You know, we need to be a bunch of Marys in this room and be saying to God, "Okay, God, I hear what you're saying for Scarborough. How will this happen? How am I part of this? What do you want me to do as part of this?" Rather than being a Zechariah and saying, "Well, how can I be sure of it?" And this is a little bit off track, and I'm not sure whether it's the biblical interpretation or not. But you kind of feel that, why did the angel shut Zechariah up? And you kind of feel it was to stop him going on about whether it was going to happen or not. You know? It didn't want Zechariah going out and saying, "Well, God's told me you're going to have a baby, but I can't be sure of it. What do you think?" And sowing discontent. Something dramatic had to happen to cause him to say, "Yes, that was the word of the God. That was the word of the Lord. And whatever I say is nothing compared to what God says. In fact, what I say is as silence in the presence of God." And we actually, as well as being a bunch of Marys, I think God is calling us to be a bunch of Zechariahs as well. In the sense of, if you doubt, take it to God and ask, "How will it happen?" But in terms of expressing the doubts, just shut up, will you? Well, that's what happens to Zechariah, wasn't it? It's like God saying to him, "Look, Zechariah, just shut up, will you? This is what I'm saying, and it's going to happen, all right?" And I think there is a sense of God, you know, could say that to us with a bit of a smile on our face, you know, when you're sort of thinking, "Oh, dude, how's this going to happen? How can I be part of this? I just don't know what's going on." And God said, "Look, just shut up, will you? I'm going to make it happen, okay?" So we can rest, we can relax, so we can just enjoy God, really. But whilst we're enjoying God, there is that question, how will this happen? And it's not a bad question. It's a good question. It's actually asking the Lord, you know, how am I part of this? Rather than, is this even going to happen? Words are really powerful, you know. I mean, a lot of you are part of Kingdom Faith, so you've had this drummed into you probably for 62 years or so. But the words you speak out words, and they are powerful. They don't stop; they go on. Sound doesn't stop. The words you've spoken just echo on forever. Radio broadcasts, which are a type of sound, if you go far enough away from our planet, in your spaceship, you can listen to what we were saying in 1932 on radio broadcasts. You just got to overtake the radio waves and catch up, and you'll hear them still, because they're still going on throughout eternity. And all sound waves are a bit like that. Whatever you've spoken is still going on. Now, translate that into the spiritual, and what you've spoken goes on forever in the spirit. So Zechariah needed to be shut up. We didn't want negativity being spoken over this child who was going to announce the coming of Jesus Christ. It's unusual for God to physically shut somebody up, but he did in that point because it was important that he didn't express continuous doubt over what was going to happen. Rather, he was like Mary and was just saying, well, how will this happen? I suppose the answer to Zechariah would have been a bit different. How will this happen? Well, go home and spend some time with your wife, I suppose would have been the answer. Praise the Lord. On a slightly different note, Christmas Eve, three men, that's a sad joke, this one really, but anyway, on Christmas Eve, three men are in a road accident and die and go to heaven. And it's also a very heretical joke, but we won't worry about that. But these three men die and they go up to heaven, and that's on Christmas Eve. So, and they arrive at the pearly gates, and St. Peter is on duty. And he says, well, hello guys, as it's Christmas, we're going to do something a bit different, and I'll let you in if you can give me something that's to do with Christmas. And they sort of look at him a bit funny, but, you know, the first guy comes up, he says, well, I happen to have got this Christmas cracker in my pocket. Well, that do? St. Peter says, yep, that's to do with Christmas. In you go. If you don't know why Christmas crackers is to do with Christmas, you'll have to come on Christmas Day to Lampoon. Second one goes up. He says, well, actually, I got this bit of holly caught in my hair, and holly and holy are very similar, and it's to do with Christmas. And St. Peter says, yep, that'll do. It's Christmas. I'll be generous. In you go. And the next guy comes up, and he says, and he hands Peter a pair of stockings. And St. Peter says, well, Christmas? And the guy says, yeah, they belong to my wife. He says, they belong to your wife? He said, yeah, they're carols. Yeah, I know that was bad. You know, I don't know. The story stops there. I think he was swiftly kicked out with that kind of... It's a very rough link. It was just to make you smile. It is Christmas after all. It's good to smile. But it's a rough link. But each guy had a perception of Christmas, something that meant Christmas or not. The true meaning of Christmas was shown in the video right at the beginning. That's our perception of Christmas, that it's all about God is now here. If you were watching at the end, you see the GODNOWHERE, and then goes into God is nowhere. And there's a lot of people out there today who are saying God is nowhere, or even where is God? God is nowhere is the statement of the atheist. But with just a slight change of perception, you move the W from the where and move it onto the no, and it becomes God is now here. There's a perception change. Nothing has changed at all in the order of those letters. You just suddenly see a new meaning. And we really need to pray into this next year for people's eyes to be opened. It's not that anything's got to happen. It's just that they've got to see it has happened and that God is now here. It's so easy just to write him off and have excuses or reasons. But then on the other hand, some of the reasons that people give have a validity, you know, that points to the hypocrisy of the church or the fact that the Christians they know are more miserable than the atheists they know. You know, and these are good reasons for denying God. They do deny God. The Bible's quite clear on that matter. But we need to pray that we as a church, when people look at us, they say, God is now here. And if you're thinking, oh, I don't know how that's going to happen, turn the question around into, how will that happen? What is God saying to me for 2008? What is God saying to me that when people look at me, they say, God is now here? What is my role within the body of Christ that God has placed me in? What is my role as part of the body that people can look and see God is now here? You know, this Christmas in a lot of the churches, a lot of the people are going to be, you know, hearing our Lord Emmanuel. It's at the beginning of Matthew, isn't it? The prophecy. I've got it down here somewhere. Yeah. The birth of Jesus Christ. It's headed up in my NIV. But just come down to verse 22 in verse 1. It says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. God is with us. But how will it happen that others see that God is with us? How will it happen that others will see God is now here? Now, we've looked at briefly at Mark 1. We've read from Luke 1. Now, if you go over to John chapter 1. Not quite the Christmas story. And John 1:1 says this. Dan, could you put up that text? There it is. That's what John 1:1 says. NRK en halogos, kai halogos en proston theon, kai theon en halogos. There you go. It's the only bit of Greek I know. No, you can put the lights up, they'll still see it. NRK, which is the first two words there, means literally in the beginning. In the beginning was the word, logos is the word. And it says kai halogos, which means and the logos and the word. En pros ton theon means was with God, and kai, last line, theos en halogos means and God was the word. So you get what it says in most English translations. But there's a lot of you hear a lot of controversy over this sentence. Does it actually really mean? But there you are, there it is in the Greek, literally transliterated in the Greek. It says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and God was, and God was the word. To make more sense in English, we say the word was God. And it actually does mean the same thing. And it goes back here then to Zechariah. Why are words so important? Because words come from the source of life itself. They come from the word. And Zechariah needed to speak the right things. And it wasn't safe to have him speaking until he had his son in his arms and he could name him John. Because then he would be acting in faith upon what the angel had actually told him. Whereas Mary, her response, even just soon after, of course, is just to praise God, as the Magnificat, as it's often called. In that, so you've got this passage there. In the beginning was the Word. Everything was created by the Word of God. It says in Genesis chapter 1, this is obviously the book of the sermon of chapter 1 today. In Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God said, and this happened. 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 And we are created in His image, aren't we? Therefore, what we say, what we speak, is important. And if we speak what it says in the Word of God, it can change the circumstances that we see in front of our eyes. How will this happen? We'll speak the Word of God into this situation. How will this change? We'll speak the Word of God into this situation. There's so many things in our lives that sort of come against really what God says. And a good example is sickness and disease, isn't it? You see sickness and disease in the body. How do we change that situation? It's not according to God's Word. We speak God's Word over it. I put my back out badly on Monday this week, and I'm sort of barely getting around on Monday. And I was in quite a lot of pain. The only thing I can do over the course, and it's not fully better now, you're probably noticing I'm a bit stiff in places, but what I do know is that God has been healing it rapidly from how bad it was. And the only thing I can do is just speak God's Word over it. Speak God's Word over it. Till it comes into line with God's Word. Because God's Word is Jesus. You want to know what this book's like? How to interpret this book? Look at the life of Jesus. The Gospels are key to understanding the whole Bible because it says that Jesus was the Word. Therefore, what you see in Jesus is in person form showing us what the Word of God's like. So if you come across some obscure passage in the Old Testament, you think, what can I do with this? I don't understand this. Just think, well, what was Jesus like? Because Jesus was the fulfillment of the Word. When you look at the Old Testament, God was working with people according to the revelation and the culture and the way they lived then, which was very different to us. The world, generally speaking, on a personal level, was more violent. And God's rules and regulations were put in place for those reasons. Because you look at some of the things in Leviticus and you think, why? Well, you can think why, but then look at Jesus and you see the fulfillment of the Word. How will it happen in our day that the name of Jesus is made known? We'll be Christians, little Christs. We'll manifest as Jesus to the world. How will that happen for you as an individual? I don't know. Ask God about that one. How will this happen, Lord? But we don't need to say like Zechariah, how can I be sure? We're sure. We know. The only question is, how will? Amen? Amen. Yeah, you even got a bit of Greek. 2 days before Christmas. Oh, it's still up there. A bit of Greek. Praise the Lord. Let's stand before God, shall we? Perhaps the worship team can come back up again. Let's just spend some time before God asking this question. Okay, Lord, I know what's happening. I know what's going on. But how will I be part of this? How will it happen? Not that this is the only time you want to do this, but as we've actually spoken out this word and said, right, this is what God is saying to us. This is the way forward. How will this happen? It's a good time just to wait upon the Lord and ask that. I mean, we could do that last song again, if you like, Steve, Behold the Lamb. And just, you don't need to sing it if you don't want to, or sing it if you do want to, or sing in tongues if you want to. But the important thing is just focus on the Lord with that question. And just be listening on him and see what the Lord says. And I think he'll just even begin to reveal something to you now and excite your faith for 2008. Amen? Amen. Let's just focus on the Lord then.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.